el rey del huepagüe. Hue, 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 pa, es el grito del rey. Ya llegó usted, es el rey del huepaje. Hue, 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 pa, es el grito del rey. Esta es la dinastía, es el sonido Kiss. Del barrio de Tlaxcala, nacido en San Luis. Esta es la dinastía, es el sonido Kiss. Del barrio de Tlaxcala, nacido en San Luis. Ya llegó usted, es el rey del huepaje. Hue, 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 pa, es el grito del rey. Ya llegó pa' usted, es el rey del huepaje. Hue, 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 pa, es el grito del rey.
WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Harborough.
Están escuchando 103.5 FM WCOMLP, Chapel Hill y
Carborough. Good afternoon. This is Wilp's Wednesday afternoon radio show. Wake up and connect the dots. I knew I was going to blow that. Wake up and connect the dots. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. WILF stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we're happy to... Oh, yes.
And your name is?
And my name is... I'm Lori Hoyt, co-host.
Hi, I'm Dick Paddock, co-host and engineer.
And our guest today is a fellow... WILF member and friend, Harry Phillips. And our topic today, we want to talk about the Occupy movement and whither thou goest, what's happening. There's a lot of exciting changes going on. There's just been a big demonstration in Washington. There's a lot to talk about. So, Harry, welcome.
Okay, well, thank you, Lori, and thank you, Dick. Thanks to both of you for inviting me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to be here, and always wonderful to see you both. Well, as we move into version 2.0 of Occupy Chapel Hill Carborough, what we're calling it, with version 1 devoted pretty much, I think, to establishing ourselves and to establishing our visual presence in the community and establishing ourselves as well as a political player in Chapel Hill and Carborough. We're sort of moving into version 2.0 now, focusing in large part but not exclusively on direct action. And so I wonder if I can just take a minute to identify and briefly describe some of the direct actions that we have planned. And then I would like to talk a little bit about the teach-ins that we have sponsored the last few weeks and what's coming up. But Lori and Dick, the first major event this week is on Saturday, our foreclosure prevention forum, which Occupy Chapel Hill is helping to support but not specifically sponsoring. It is sponsored by the NCCU School of Law, and it's directed primarily at homeowners who have foreclosure concerns, and it's designed as an information session for the general public. So that'll be this Saturday, January 21st, from 11 to 1 at UUMC, the University United Methodist Church on Franklin Street, catty corner to Peace and Justice Plaza. So what will the forum offer and who can benefit? Well, there'll be information provided by foreclosure defense attorneys on foreclosure prevention strategies. Additionally, there'll be explanations of the kinds of government programs that can help homeowners in foreclosure. It'll be an opportunity for participants to ask attorneys foreclosure questions face-to-face, and there'll be Spanish translation available. It's a free event. We'll have a catered lunch and terrific food, from what I understand.
That's always a draw, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's always a draw, free food. And I think we have at this point 7 or 8
wow.
local restaurants, Mama Dips and Amante Pizza and Gulf Rim and I think Mediterranean Deli and I think a few others who will generously contribute. But folks attending, folks concerned about having their homes foreclosed on should bring all their foreclosure paperwork, which includes loan documents and anything else germane to their situation. Everybody who has concerns about foreclosure are welcome. UUMC has a 200-seat auditorium, so there's plenty of room. Parking will be available behind the church in the Hill Hall parking lot on the UNC campus just off Cameron Avenue. And if you want more information, you can contact local attorney Ann Shy. And it's Ann who has organized, done the legwork, and completely put together this excellent program. But Ann's contact information, her email is ann@disputeredesign.com. So that's ann@disputeredesign.com. And Ann has done wonderful work. And let me just talk for a minute about the genesis of this excellent foreclosure prevention forum. One of the most active working groups in Occupy Chapel Hill Carborough is the outreach group, and part of our aim is to reach out to folks in the community, civic organizations, individuals, schools, and certainly faith groups. So during our first outreach to a faith group, we were welcomed generously by Friends Meeting, we asked to meet with their Peace and Justice Committee, and we did, and in about 10 minutes, we had 4 projects lined up based on the obvious common ground that Peace and Justice at Friends Meeting and Occupy Chapel Hill share. And one of them was this suggestion by Ann Shy to have a foreclosure forum. So we went to work on it, or I should say Ann went to work on it, and Occupy stepping up with volunteer help. And there'll be a lot of occupiers attending because that's a big concern of ours is, you know, we want folks to be able to occupy their homes, for heaven's sakes, and especially in light of the fraudulent and deceptive lending practices that many of our financial institutions have engineered for a good many years now. So anyway, that's a wonderful event, and I hope that folks can attend.
Oh, I hope so, too, and I just think it's great because, you know, the whole overarching theme with Occupy movements all over is essentially economic injustice, and certainly this heartbreak of hearing of thousands of foreclosures still going on, worse, as bad as ever, from what I understand. So I think this is a great action and teaching vehicle for y'all to do.
Yeah.
For we all to do.
We all to do. I think that we all, the 99% to do.
Yes.
That's great, Laurie. Well, thank you very much for that. You know, so much of the Occupy movement is about occupying our country and, you know, occupying our institutions and occupying the essentials of life, like having a dwelling where you can reliably go and not having it ripped out from under you because of these deceptive lending practices by big banks. So foreclosure is all about Occupy, and I hope a lot of people will attend. Another big event is this Friday, day after tomorrow, where we'll be participating along with many other Occupies in North Carolina in Occupy the Courts Day, and that is in observance and protesting the 2-year anniversary of the Citizens United decision that identifies corporations as people and grants corporations the status of personhood. And you know that that means a lot of money being poured into elections, unlimited amounts of money. And really what it means is that corporations can now control who's elected to office. So it becomes an ideological kind of misrepresentation. At the federal courthouse in Raleigh on Friday from 9 to 5, there'll be a substantial demonstration. We are planning at this point to let the courts operate as normal, but we will have a significant presence there. There'll be street theater and music, and lots of signs and likely many speakers. And it's a chance for us to join in solidarity with other Occupies from across the country in protesting this gross, really inhumane Supreme Court decision led by Supreme Court Justice Anthony Scalia. And so I hope that folks will come out, even if it's just on your lunch break or if you can stay only for an hour or maybe a little longer than that. Bodies is what we have. That's our leverage, at least in part. And we can exert significant pressure on our elected officials to really rethink this this destructive, debilitating Supreme Court decision. And you know, let's give people a level playing field to live on. And let's give folks a fair chance. And yeah. This corporate personhood business is just anathema to our principles as a country, at least nominally. And let's work against it.
Now, so. Harry, you know, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, this is not new, some having in law that corporations are treated as people. It's just been carried to a new depth. A new extreme, but we've been part of this group called Podunk, and I can't remember what it's
named. POCLAD.
POCLAD, thank you.
Program on Constitution Law.
Thank you,
and,
thank you,
Dick.
What would we do without you? That thank you, really. So we've been working on that as a group. The group has been working on that for years. So one thing that's happened now is that everybody's talking about it. It was just always a few people, because it first started, you know, right after the Civil War with this Santa Clara Railroad that somebody snuck it in. It had nothing to do with that. And they've used it over the years in various ways. But this is taking it to another extreme. And so the only heartening thing is, but they have so much money, it's so hard fighting that much money, no matter, even fighting against this, you know, to try to get an amendment.
Yeah, so interesting, Laura. You know, when I was giving my students, when I was still teaching information about how to understand corporate personhood in this run-up to this Supreme Court decision, which lasted a long time, it was a scholarly overview of the issue produced by two Wilf scholars. I forget their names, but it was clear, succinct, it was historically precise, and it was just what students needed to understand the thing in you know, four or five relatively short pages. So we all appreciate the contributions of Wilf over many, many years to progressive politics.
Yeah, and other people, what was it? There's a book out about it. POCLAD stands for what again, Dick?
Program on Corporations Law and something. I forgot what the D stands for.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, so now a lot of people are recognizing the danger and this increased danger, even in this Republican primary, they were dumping the money in. And it's not just for presidential elections. It can be for any election. So it's upping the cost of all elections so that regular folks, it's going to be increasingly difficult to run. You know, even in places like Chapel Hill and Carborough, they did try to get they had to get permission from the state to do it on a trial basis, so publicly funded local elections.
They were called voter-owned elections was the term that they used.
That's a nice term, isn't it?
Yes.
Voter-owned. But it's getting harder and harder. And Obama, for the last election, declined because he felt that he had to raise as much money as he could to try to win. But that's always the rationale. And so good for you. So Occupy is going to be occupying the courts on Friday, the federal courthouse in Raleigh. Do you know the location of that?
It's
New Bern Avenue.
I think it's 310 New Bern Avenue. Yeah. My colleague and fellow occupier, Sonia Ketchian, who will be speaking in just a few minutes. But, Laura, you know, when you mentioned that Supreme Court ruling affects local politics, we can see that in Raleigh mogul businessman Art Pope, you know,
yes,
who influenced...
Yes, this is our local version of the Koch brothers. And in fact, I think he is a colleague and friend of the Koch brothers,
right.
Art Pope, who
right.
owns Family Dollar, owns Roses, two of my favorite stores. This is where low-income people...
Yeah, I think it's not
shop.
Family Dollar. I think that's actually the Levine family in Charlotte, but it might be Dollar General.
Oh, maybe it's Dollar General.
I think
then.
That might be
yes,
right.
Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank
right.
you.
But
and also Maxway.
So he owns a lot
way.
Of these for where low... So low-income people, the people who need a good safety net the most, he's making his money off of... poorer people, lower income people, let me put it that way, and using that to squelch them even further and push them further down on the economic ladder.
In that same context, Laurie, in terms of educating ourselves about corporate personhood, at Occupy Chapel Hill Carborough's General Assembly tomorrow at 6 o'clock, always held at Peace and Justice Plaza, the old post office, probably inside tomorrow because it'll be a little chilly. We have a local expert, a WILF, longstanding WILF member, Tana Hartman,
yay.
Who will come and do a 30-minute teach-in for us from 6 to 6:30 on corporate personhood. And it will be an excellent primer, especially the day before the Occupy the Courts Day in Raleigh. And we all know that Tana has done excellent work in the area of corporate personhood and just a fount of information. So I hope folks will turn out for that.
Yes, this is her area of expertise along with others, but this is something that she's really studied and is well versed in. So
right.
that will be a
right.
That's an excellent time to have it the night before, to kind of it's like priming for a test. You have all those facts at my fingertips too.
Well, Laurie, if it's okay, I'd just like to say talk for a minute or two about recent teach-ins and scheduled teach-ins.
Please,
and,
please.
I think it was Sunday, January 8th, where Gene Nickel, director of the UNC School of Law's Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity, did a wonderful 90-minute program for us at the Campus Y. That Sunday, 35 folks attended, and Gene is just... the center of information on poverty statistics and information and so delivered just a wonderful spirited talk and was forthcoming in his criticism of why things have to be that way in our state when there's so much money in our state and in our country, but it's just been distributed unevenly in the hands of a few and at the expense of the many. And so Gene is involved, along with NAACP in North Carolina and the Reverend William Barber, in a poverty tour, which involves a number of focus groups and listening projects, primarily in the eastern part of the state, to get an up-close sense of how poverty is affecting North Carolinians. And I'm sure that good work will come from those good focus groups and listening projects so that we can all begin to pitch in and work toward eliminating poverty in our state. You know, I think it's something like 17.4% of Tar Heels now are living at or below the poverty line. 1 in 3 children of color live at or below the poverty line. 11% of our seniors are below the poverty line. And it doesn't need to be that way. We just need to rethink some things and reorder our priorities and mobilize politically and address that poverty problem. This past Sunday, Internationalist Books generously hosted a speaker for another teach-in, Betsy Kreitz, who is executive director for NC Peace Action, did a nice hour-long program for us on war dollars and specifically the local consequences of the war in Afghanistan, and really broke things down as to how our tax money and how we are supporting that war locally, you know, in terms of returning vets and the problems that they encounter and other costs in terms of employment. So that was terrific. This Sunday, Bill Murray, who is a trained psychologist, therapist, will do a nice program for us on effective communication based on on understanding our values and understanding the values of others. I'm not articulating that as precisely as I want to, but it's on our website.
Is this going to be at the Internationalist again?
No, it'll be at the United Church on Homestead Road, the intersection of Homestead and MLK.
Okay.
As you're traveling north on MLK Boulevard, if you turn left onto Homestead and take the second right, as if you're going to the Aquatic Center, the first right or second right will be entrance into the parking lot for the United Church. That's from 1 to 2:30.
It's
free, and it will be a wonderful free training opportunity. So we also have the director of the dance program at Duke doing a nice yoga class for us, hopefully at the Campus Y on Sunday, February 5th. And we have a...
Well, you have a really ambitious schedule. This is wonderful.
Well, you know, we all feel that education is so important, that that's such a necessary part of the Occupy movement is to educate. And I draw my inspiration in part, probably in large part, from the free universities of the 60s,
yeah,
you might remember. I mean, that was a happening time. And you could just get educated for free by so many intelligent people who had expertise on one facet of American life, our involvement in Vietnam, for example. And it was just a terrific thing. So I have that nice grounding some 40 years ago and want to bring that energy to Occupy. And just terrific speakers. And speakers are just as generous and as gracious and as giving as they can be, you know, with information. Yeah. And, you know, they're so cordial and honored to be part of Occupy. And they dispense just excellent, practical, scholarly information in most cases. So it really is a terrific thing. So that will continue to be a part of Occupy. On February 10th in Pittsburgh at the General Store Cafe in Pittsburgh.
And the Sunday the 5th, the yoga class is going to be
hopefully at the Campus Y. We'll post on our website when that's confirmed. And our website, of course, is www.occupychapelhill.org. But on February 10th in Pittsburgh at the General Store Cafe, we have a fundraiser going on where we'll have some terrific music and a lot of food, and I hope folks will turn out for just a nice, fun evening and maybe make a contribution to Occupy.
So that'll be a nighttime thing at 7?
I believe it's a nighttime. I'm not sure of dates or times at this point, but
it's time to be announced, or
maybe it's already announced and I just don't know it. But yeah, our website will have that information.
Well, each week we'll be glad to talk about and also mention again what's coming up. Because this is a exciting schedule it's so positive.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah.
Let me mention also, Lori and Dick, that many occupiers are very closely following the investigation into the Yates Building occupation and those arrests on November 13th, that overreaction by Chapel Hill Police and the disunity that event has introduced into our community. Many of us, most of us, believe that the police behaved inappropriately, that it was an overreaction, that, you know, for officers to brandish assault weapons, semi-automatic weapons, against innocent protesters seems beyond the pale of community sensitivity to the community. So anyway, as you probably know, the town council delegated a local citizens committee, I think it's the police action
advisory
commission, to investigate. And so it's being investigated, and early reports are that committee would like an independent review, which is what many of us asked for from the beginning, you know, to move it out from inside Chapel Hill town government, and let's, by golly, bring in an independent investigator, mm-hmm. and let's get all the facts, and then and so we'll understand the event more clearly.
In the paper today, the local Chapel Hill paper, which I recommend to our listeners to please read your local paper, the Chapel Hill News and the Carrboro Citizen, because both of them give excellent reporting on what's happening locally. And today's Chapel Hill News said that it looked like they are expecting a positive response from the Chapel Hill Town Council to the advisory committee's recommendation of an independent investigator. So it looks very hopeful, because otherwise there'll continue to be such a cloud over and lack of trust with our local government. Yeah. So I'm very hopeful that this will get resolved in a positive way.
And I just have another minute, if you don't, Laurie.
So our listeners, Harry is leaving here to go to another training thing, I believe. Right. So he's got a couple more minutes, and it's yours, Harry.
But thanks, Laurie and Dick, so much for having me on.
I
much appreciate it.
Anytime.
And thanks so much, and for your generous support of Occupy Chapel Hill Carrboro. So I just want to take a second to introduce Sonia Ketchian, who is another occupier and who has been involved in Occupy Chapel Hill Carrboro since the very beginning and has done a great deal of work, especially with the sticky, so to speak, problems involved in our food and sanitation work. You know, we had a food tent for most of our life at the Peace and Justice Plaza, and Sonia was always alerting us to concerns and doing much of the tough legwork herself on that. She's contributed enormously. But I should also say that Sonia is had a very quite a distinguished career as a photographer, and that her work, her photographs hang in many of the more prestigious art museums in the country. And she's so modest about the whole thing. And this past Sunday she had an opening at, I believe is it Driad Gallery, Sonia?
Focal Point,
which is next to Cafe Driad. But Sonia will fill you in more on that. So you'll be listening in just a few seconds to an accomplished photographer with just an excellent reputation and quite a committed occupier. So Laurie and Dick, thanks guys so much.
Sure.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure.
Harry, come back anytime.
Thanks, Laurie.
Yeah, good luck. Take care. We'll see you next, Harry.
Yeah.
And,
always.
And we're going to take, while Sonia is coming into Harry's chair here by one of the mics, we're going to take a station break. And Dick, you want to tell about our...
Sure. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, what we call the wake-up call, because it's time to wake up no matter what part of the day you're in. You need to be awake, and then we try to help you have the information that you can use to connect and connect the dots and find out where you are and where you need to go. So that's our local show's object, and we are brought to you here on WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on your radio dial. If you have an FM radio that can pick us up, we're a low-power station. Or you can stream us from the Internet by going to the website of this radio station, which is wcomfm.org. And we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, which is at 405 West Franklin Street here in Chapel Hill. As Harry mentioned, they, among other things, provide a resource base for people who want to hold meetings, teach-ins, forums, but mm-hmm. they're also obviously a bookstore, and they're a bookstore that carries books and magazines that you won't likely find strewn around at the big box stores, as we call them, like Barnes & Noble or whoever. This is a local bookstore with an internationalist flavor that also has my favorite bumper stickers.
Well, and it's also like this station and like WILF and like Occupy Volunteer Run.
That's right. It's all volunteers.
All volunteers. And has also a proud history of being in this community. I don't know, something like 20, 25 years, a long time. And we've had members on telling the history is very interesting. And at some point, maybe we'll do that again, yeah. Tell a little bit about their history.
That would be good because it's been 2 or 3 years since we had like 3 or 4 staff members come over and talk to us.
So,
and we want to give our website,
yes,
trianglewilpf.org, that's where you'll find information about what WILF is doing, even stuff that doesn't include the radio show, because we have other things going on too. Actually, there's much more going on.
Yeah.
But you can also find the radio station archives there. They're a little bit behind now, but we're catching them up, and pretty soon you'll be able, within a few days, to go to that site and catch the most recent radio show and all the other ones that we've done. Yeah,
we usually for our listeners, we usually like a couple of weeks, sometimes a little bit more behind, but a lot of our topics are ongoing topics, you know, like we've had several times on fracking, where now one of our big issues is the a controversial attempt to have a for-profit charter school here. But we're going to do our announcements in just a little bit and put Sonia on. Because she also has a meeting to go to. So, Sonia, you got a great build-up by Harry. I did not know about your artistic side, being a photographer. I did not know
really?
That at all. So, yes, how lovely. I'll have to be sure to get over and see your exhibit. Is it still on, I take
I'll be glad to give you an invite.
Thank
and
you.
Directions to the gallery, although I think almost everybody knows where Cafe Driad is.
I think they do.
It's in the same parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have peculiar hours, but let's talk about Occupy.
Let's talk about Occupy, yeah. So Harry's been filling us in about this marvelous new schedule of teach-ins and direct action.
Isn't it remarkable? The work that Harry has done for us
is
absolutely remarkable. I mean, I was sitting here listening to him, and my jaw was dropping. He very modestly will announce that these events are happening to us at a General Assembly meeting or on the listserv, and it's sort of up to now, it was going through the back of my mind because I've been so preoccupied with food and sanitation up to last week when we disencamped, if that's a word.
I think it might be. So this is going to free up your energy and other people's energy to for this new, what do you call it, version 2? To
Occupy 2.0.
Occupy 2.0. That was, yes, Occupy 2.0.
We've passed Occupy 101. With flying colors,
yes,
on to 2.0.
Yeah.
We're calling it the hibernation season, where we tuck in and brainstorm and see what we can come out with for the spring.
For the spring.
Yeah.
So this is freeing up energy. Maybe you could let people know, I don't know, with such a wonderful schedule to let us know about, if Harry mentioned what the schedules are now for the General Assembly.
Sure. We have shifted from being daily General Assembly meetings, or GAs as we call them, to 3 times a week. It's Sundays at 2:30. Am I right? Is it 2:30? Or is it 3:30?
I think it's 3:30.
Sorry.
3:30? Okay.
Correct.
I'm not sure, but
you're right.
We'll check on that.
Yeah. Sundays 3:30.
Yeah. Check the website. Laurie's right. I'm sure it'll be right there.
And Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 o'clock. And we meet outside the post office on Franklin Street when the weather allows us to stay outside. And when the weather is not friendly, we go inside the post office. And you can bring a folding chair if sitting on a cold stone floor does not appeal to you.
So for people who've not gone yet or haven't been while, if you go to walk or drive past, if you don't see anybody, it's a real cold night, go and check inside the post office.
Right, rainy or whatever. Ugly weather you don't like, check inside.
But you know, Lori, you bring up a good point. For people who have not been to any Occupy meetings, let's talk about what a General Assembly meeting is like.
I think that's a great idea.
Because I'm sure there are people who are driving around going home right now or on their way to the supermarket who are going, oh, you know, I've always wanted to drop in on an Occupy meeting, but I don't know, maybe they won't like me, or, oh, they don't look like me, or, gee, you know, but I really, really support what they're doing. I wonder if I'll be accepted. Well, the answer is, please come on down. We are a very welcoming group of people, each person and individual in and of themselves. We love getting new input to our General Assembly meetings.
And there's a diversity of age?
Oh, yes.
It's a very diverse group. And you're right, they're very welcoming. I don't go every time, but I've gone different times.
Yeah. There's also cultural diversity beyond the cultures of different ages.
Yes, yes. Cultural diversity, many diversities.
Yes.
And I think that I'm glad you brought that up, because people maybe think, well, what happens at a General Assembly?
Right.
So maybe
Lori, don't you think one of the nicest things about a GA is how you can put your hand up if you have something to say? Somebody is their job, or they've been picked to notice who has their hands up, and they will immediately notice that your hand is slightly on its way up, and they'll put your name on the list. And the next thing you know, your name is called, and you get to talk. And people will listen.
Which is
This is a big deal in this world.
And different people come at different times, so it's not the same group, so it's not like you're a newcomer trying to make your way. You know,
you're not likely to be the only newcomer.
Yeah. And you're right. It is welcoming, and you are encouraged to put your two cents worth out there if you feel you have something you want to say. And you might, for newcomers, tell how they do the hand signals, which are really becoming one of the hallmarks. It's
the twinkles and all that.
Yeah.
We have a famous a way of approving what a speaker is saying, and that is, in addition to nodding our heads, which is the usual way in the West anyway, is to put both hands up in the air, either facing forward or facing backwards, just, you know, near your ears or above your head, and wiggling all 10 fingers, as in, yippee, I agree with you.
And it's such a nice little finger exercise, too.
And we call that twinkling.
Oh, is that what it's called, twinkling?
Yeah, so even on the listserv, sometimes when you read somebody's post and you agree with what they're saying, all you write is twinkles instead of I agree. That's one of the ways that we're different. And another way that we're different is that decision-making, when it comes down to making a decision of let's do this, let's do that as a group, that if any one person either doesn't understand or doesn't agree to what is being said, the meeting stops, the discussion stops, and we turn to that person to listen to what they object to. And until we get around that rock, so to speak, mm-hmm. until the water comes around the rock, we stay on the topic mm-hmm. until it's resolved or understood or sorted out.
Well, yeah, friends of mine who go to the Friends meeting, otherwise known as Quakers to some people, say that a lot of the way that you operate with consensus, or the way you show respect by not interrupting and things that it's very much based on Quaker principles, and that they were very impressed by that.
I didn't know that.
I have
sat in on a Quaker meeting once or twice, but I hadn't noticed about the consensus part. Is that?
Well, that's what I've been told. I don't go to the meeting, you know, on a regular basis. I've gone, like when you all were there, and gone to some other forums that they have. But they didn't say it was exactly the same, but it was very similar model.
Mood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have also been educated in the background of how Occupy came to be, and discovered that it actually follows the models of what the so-called anarchist groups have been using over the years. I don't know very much about the history of anarchism. Mm-hmm. I personally don't care for the word, but I am not educated, nor have I studied mm-hmm. politics to mm-hmm. know what it's all about, mm-hmm. so to speak. But the General Assembly concept comes from anarchist theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say. I don't, you mm-hmm. know, I don't know much more than that. Sorry, folks who are listening. Sorry, iBooks. I know I need to be better educated.
But. Well, I think all of us could, you know, I can remember a little bit in history about Bakunin or somebody, one of the early anarchists, but I think that currently it can be just like socialism, these words that have so much good attached to them, but to some people they attach some negative ideas to. So, so many, communism. I mean, actually, my sister, who's a Catholic nun, was just saying to me, she'd been from some meeting that they have, you know, that the early Christians operated at what would be called communism, sharing everything. And things get certain connotations, for some people, they become a barrier to them opening their hearts and minds to trying to understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
But then something will, maybe one of our shows, or at least part of it, maybe we ought to do a brief history of anarchism, and which would be really interesting, since
right.
it's a word that's thrown around
yeah.
so loosely and widely, you know.
In a rare moment of openness, I discussed this with Harry, who was just here, and I said to him, you know, Harry, there's a lot more to this anarchist stuff than I realized was there. I myself had some encounters in previous, long time ago in the 60s, when we had a lot of political organizing going on. I never participated, but I was a photojournalist in those mm-hmm. days, and so I met a lot of different people. One of them was this guy who was an anarchist, and boy, if he summed up what an anarchist is, I never wanted to meet another one ever again. So I had to have a really, really open mind before I could be open to listening to mm-hmm. what they had to say. And I feel that the model that they use, again, I don't know all the goals, some of mm-hmm. them that I hear.
Well, the model seems really good in terms of respect for each other and listening. And I think that's where our Quaker friends have felt, mm-hmm. Who've gone to some of the Occupy meetings and were telling me that she said this is so similar, you know, with this where you don't shout out when you disagree and you raise, you know, make a hand signal. They use some hand signals too. Mm-hmm. And so that was just really interesting how different movements borrow from each other, like the civil rights movement, you know, borrowed from Gandhi's nonviolence, and Gandhi had borrowed from Thoreau, and there's this cross-fertilization across mm-hmm. oceans
sure.
even, yeah, which is pretty wonderful.
Absolutely.
When that global cross-fertilization is trying to borrow what's positive and good and beautiful from each other.
Well, in the same token, just like I proceed cautiously when I hear and encounter self-professed anarchists. They proceed with great caution when they encounter somebody who is religious. So it cuts both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I want to get back to General Assemblies and, mm-hmm. and what got you. Harry said you were involved from the very beginning.
Oh, yes.
And what did he...
I actually followed the creation of Occupy Wall Street off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. I knew about it not from the Adbusters article that mm-hmm. appeared in June of last year, but rather from the Twitter feed.
Okay.
And the minute I heard the word Occupy Wall Street, I said yes.
Yeah.
I didn't delve into the rhetoric. Whatever I read, I agreed with.
Uh-huh. Well, do you know much about this past weekend where there was the whole Occupy protest in Washington? It was even made the Jim Lehrer News Hour, which was pretty good since so many protests get unremarked. But the
no,
Occupy
Laurie,
movement
tell
is,
me about it. It's
has, so
so
has so occupied the imagination of the country that they did cover that.
And what happened?
Well, I think that they made their points, and I think it's gotten around the country, you know, about economic injustice. I mean, they didn't have a very large coverage, but they did have a few people who spoke.
What happened exactly?
They had a whole big protest around the White House.
Oh, around the White House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so I just saw this brief. Was it the White House or Congress? It was in Washington around the White House.
It was Congress.
It was Congress then. Okay, Congress
coming back and going.
Yes,
because I had heard about Congress.
Because I just saw that brief thing, and because I don't get a nationwide newspaper. I just get the local newspapers. So, but when I saw this little brief thing on Jim Lehrer News Hour, I thought, oh my gosh. You know, that's why I do watch that usually fairly regularly, and I thought this is great that they're getting some coverage for what they're standing for.
Oh, there's been tremendous coverage of the Occupy movement.
Oh, I didn't say the movement. I mean that this weekend when you have a protest, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no, but the Occupy movement has gotten amazing coverage.
There isn't a day that the New York Times front page doesn't have the word Occupy in an article.
Really? I don't get the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you know that its headline is derived, you know, like economic inequality. You never saw that in a New York Times headline before, but it's prevalent for sure.
What's credited by most people, whether they're for or against or neutral. To give them credit that they've knocked this whole focus on deficit reduction off the front pages, and economic inequality is now a hot topic.
But you were asking about how I got into Occupy. Yeah. But following the Twitter feed, I then wanted very much to be part of the first encampment. And for a number of reasons, obligations here being number one, prevented me from going that weekend. And so I monitored through Facebook, Twitter, and other online sources about the trouble they were having. It was very interesting. The first 2 days, they were... Are we closing in on...
Well, we can go, for about a good another five minutes or more, and then we'll do our announcements and things? Or what?
I'll be guided by how many announcements you think you need to have.
Well, I've got a few, but not...
Okay.
You know, say
five more
minutes.
Minutes.
So I thought you needed to go, so we can go on till about five of...
Either way is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Listeners, what would you like? Call in.
That's one of the things we've talked about, that we at some time point to set ourselves up to have a call-in show, which we've never done.
Oh,
right.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
I assume that
Yeah, it would be good. So, okay, so where were we at that you were following?
And the first few days of the Occupy Wall Street in New York, I remember posts on their Facebook page saying, where is the media? We're doing all this. And I forget, it wasn't until they crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. But in the first few days, they were bemoaning how the media was not covering any of it. They said, here we are, hundreds of us, and nobody is covering us. And I thought,
coverage, actually. At first, I remember people being really unhappy because they would show somebody dressed up like a clown, or they'd show something kind of frivolous instead of, you know, the more serious aspects of it. And then maybe it was the Brooklyn Bridge where suddenly things sort of changed.
It was.
In terms of the coverage, taking the movement seriously and with much more respect. Yeah. So,
yes, you're right, Lori. Then when I saw those posts saying, oh, nobody's covering us, I thought, oh, gee, I'm so glad I didn't go. But, you know, I would have gone anyway if I could have. But then, like you were saying, the Brooklyn Bridge event really, really made the media start to take notice, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and then where was that veteran associate? That was that Oakland where he was injured by that?
Yes.
And I think that was a huge shock to people, you know, and it made it really come home how the police were starting to crack down on the protesters, and this was such a heartrending story where here he, faced two tours of duty and came home relatively unscathed, and then gets almost killed by just exercising his free speech rights in this country. And I think that kind of gave a lot of support to protesters and the movement.
Lori, do you know I'm one of the people who was arrested? I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that,
yeah.
But yes.
One thing that I heard Harry say in his talk with you a few minutes ago was, how could they come out with assault rifles against innocent protesters? Well, I have to disagree with that observation. The fact is that nobody had weapons. Nobody had anything like weapons. Yes, they were innocent in that sense. But menacing is the way to describe the people who were in the anarchist book fair, which is the offshoot.
Yeah, but where they were arrested, you were there. You were there, inside or outside? Because there were some people outside who were
outside.
Yeah, and so you were arrested just for standing outside.
Well, I was trying to explain that I don't think that people were exactly innocent of intentions. It is true that they were innocent of having any weapons. And the point is that with all the listening in equipment that the police department now has, or should have, or they say they have from all their talks with Homeland Security, I suppose they have, they should have known there were no weapons. So why didn't they know there were no weapons?
Well, that is exactly what needs to be investigated, because from what I understand, I was not there, that people were walking in and out, that the door was open that afternoon, that people on the streets were free, you know, that it was not barricaded.
Mm-hmm. I would like to go back to the word that you used, menacing. And who was menacing, the occupiers or the police?
at the time that I was there, or in general?
Well, no, at the time you were there, you're first.
Well, by the time I walked in onto the scene, I was not part of the Yates Building occupation.
Okay.
We were having a General Assembly meeting up on Franklin Street when we heard that the people from the Anarchist Book Fair who had been occupying the Yates Building, some of whom were part of our Occupy movement, that occupation of the Yates Building was now being surrounded by police. And so we disbanded the meeting and zoomed over. So at that point, what I saw the minute I walked to the site were these long, horrible-looking assault rifles.
So you came over afterwards.
Afterwards.
Yeah, and still got arrested.
And I also saw on the other side of the street all of my friends and co-protesters who were shouting epithets and anger and choice phrases at the police. And by that time, there was nobody left inside, as far as I know. Does that answer your question, Dave?
Yeah. I just wondered who you are applying the menacing adjective to.
Oh, prior to their occupation, the folks who had been in the parade, in the book fair parade, mm-hmm. apparently had been saying some nasty stuff about the police that could be taken to mean that they wanted them effaced from the face of the earth.
Oh, okay.
Since I wasn't there, I can't say what they said, but it has been re-quoted many times.
Okay, but that is hearsay, right? We're saying the radio show. And but was that to the police, or was that just...
To their faces, yes.
The police were monitoring the march, you're saying, mm-hmm. from the book fair. Well, it sounds like this is a rich topic that an investigator, hopefully hired by the town, to check out what actually did happen and who said what and who did what. I do want to make a few announcements before we close, but I want to thank you, Sonia, for coming.
Thank you, Laurie,
and being a firsthand. I didn't realize when you were arrested that you had come afterwards. Are they still arrested you?
And all I was doing was begging the officer to lower his assault rifle. Knowing my people, knowing nobody had the intention of hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you asked him to do that, he took that as interfering?
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I repeated several times, please, officer, please lower your rifle. This is Chapel Hill. These are not people who have weapons or are looking for trouble to harm individuals. Wow. And this happened over and over and over. And then his commanding officer came over and asked me to drop to my knees. And I said I wouldn't, and he told me I was under arrest. That's how I got arrested.
Oh, wow. So, Sonia, thank you for coming. I hope you two will come back. The Occupy movement, folks, is alive and well and moving into, what was the phrase again?
2.0. Occupy 2.0 mode.
Occupy 2.0. I do want to make a couple of announcements. One that's real important to those of us who have been working on which we had on last week and at another time about the whole controversy about the people who want to start a for-profit charter school here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro that will take... It will suck out money from our public school system. It is another attempt of what's going on around the country to privatize public schools. And there'll be a school board meeting tomorrow, January 19th, at the Chapel Hill Town Council at 7 o'clock. and the Raging Grannies are going to be singing. The school board, and the timing is so unfortunate because we have a new superintendent who has pledged to want to have every child in the school system get a good education, and that working on still trying to close the achievement gap, which progress has been made. And two of the things that the people who are wanting to start the charter school are citing the reason they're doing that is because of overcrowding and are ignoring the fact that the school has already passed to have a new school that's going to be in the North Side Historic African American District. The school is due to open, I think, by the end of 2013. And also that improvements have been made in the achievement gap, that there are programs that they're working hard about that. And so those are the two big reasons that the Howard and Lillian Lee Foundation are wanting to get the charter school going. They're using a company called the National Heritage Academies, NHA, and they have charter schools, I think seven of them so far in North Carolina, which are not doing, from what I understand, any better in terms of achievement gaps than our local school system is doing. And it will mean about, I think, over $4 million will come out of our school budget. So there's a lot of reasons. I won't take time to go into them, but we're going to the school board meeting to support and encourage them to continue their opposition to this for-profit charter school. And so please come if you want to be engaged in this, and the Raging Grannies will be there and will be singing to support, again, our new superintendent and his trying to let people know what this would mean for our local school district. So that's a real important one that we've been working on ever since we found out about it in November.
Yeah, that's about all the time we have, I'm afraid.
What about our okay, next week I'll tell about.
Sorry.
We have a new nation book discussion group?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That's all from here
all right.
for now.
All right.
Thank you.
103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carver.
This is News and Views, a weekly look at the events, policy, and public figures shaping the lives of North Carolinians. And now the director of North Carolina Policy Watch, Chris Fitzsimon.
Coming up next on News and Views, Sherry Strickland with the North Carolina Association of Educators on the midnight legislative session and the vote to punish teachers.
This is retribution against NCAE because of our willingness to speak up and speak out about the devastating budget cuts.
Political scientist Andy Taylor on the political impact of the midnight session and a look at the presidential race in North Carolina.
Obviously, Romney was going to do well. He did very well. Now we go to South Carolina, and, you know, you've got to figure that that's a Waterloo for quite a number of candidates.
And NAACP President William Barber on his group's Truth and Hope Tour in eastern North Carolina.
And the stats are staggering. Over 500,000 children in poverty. Some communities, one out of every two person in poverty. North Carolina, one out of every five. 1.6 million people in poverty.
All that is up next on News and Views. Stay with us.
Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. A Superior Court judge this week issued a temporary restraining order to block a law passed by the General Assembly in its controversial midnight session last week. The law would end the ability of teachers to pay their dues to the North Carolina Association of Educators by payroll deduction. Governor Perdue vetoed the legislation earlier this year,